Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry today. We thank you so much for listening. And on this Friday, just over a month from the Democratic and Republican presidential nominating conventions, is this the sound of the next vice president?
Donald Trump has run into a lot of legal trouble. Ah, yes, Trump University, which his own former employees refer to as one big fraudulent scheme.
That's Senator Elizabeth Warren on the attack last night in Washington. Her name is buzzing around as a potential vice presidential pick for Secretary Hillary Clinton. Now, Warren is in her first term as a senator from Massachusetts, and she's earned political fame and fundraising fame on the left, the kind of fame and fundraising heft that only someone like, say, Bernie Sanders has been able to match. If Bernie Sanders supporters are turned off by Hillary Clinton, the thinking goes, Elizabeth Warren is just the person that might turn them right back on again.
We will not allow a small, insecure, thin-skinned, wannabe tyrant or his allies in the Senate to destroy the rule of law in the United States of America.
Now, one of the traditional roles of the vice president is attack dog in a campaign. Elizabeth Warren seems to be auditioning for that role and doing it quite effectively. But there are complications to the Elizabeth Warren fantasy pick for the left, however. A VP nomination would also put Warren's Senate seat in Massachusetts up for grabs. And Massachusetts has a Republican governor who could appoint a successor. Democrats risk losing that seat. And that makes people like Senator John Tester very scared. Tester is head of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, in charge of strategizing, raising money, and spending money to help Democrats get the Senate back. And recently, I asked John Tester what he thought about Elizabeth Warren and another potential VP pick for Hillary Clinton, Sherrod Brown from Ohio.
I'm a big Sherrod Brown fan. I say it in somewhat jokingly way, but truth is, Sherrod and I are good friends, and it has a Republican governor in the state of Ohio, so it probably wouldn't be good for the body, but I think he'd bring a nice mix to the ticket.
And Warren?
Well, I don't know. Is the country ready for two women? I don't know.
And there is that question, is the country ready for two women at the top of the presidential ticket? Well, Harry Reid himself had something to say about that.
We've had two men representing the president, vice president, for centuries. My personal feeling is I don't see why you couldn't have two women, whoever they might be. I think they'd be as good as two men.
Harry Reid himself has had a bit of a conversion on this. Just 2 weeks ago, to the prospect of Elizabeth Warren, Harry Reid was saying hell no. And now he appears to be saying heck yes. Now, while Hillary Clinton is not the first woman to run for president of the United States, she is now going to be the first to be nominated by a major party. Historic already, yes. But could she tap Elizabeth Warren to join her? Should she even do it? Monica Potts is a New America Fellow and formerly a reporter for the American Prospect magazine. She followed Elizabeth Warren closely before she was elected in 2012. And John Cassidy is with us. He's a staff writer for The New Yorker. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Monica Potts, you know, VP buzz like this has a way of popping up not so spontaneously at times like this. What's going on here with this latest round of Elizabeth Warren VP media craze? Who's behind it and why do they want her?
Well, I know why progressives want her, and that's that what they saw in the Democratic nominating process was people who were really fired up about Bernie Sanders, and not just for his own sake, but for what he represented, which was this anti-Wall Street sort of critique of capitalism that took into account the middle class and the working class and what's been happening to them and sort of, you know, juxtaposed them against the powers that be, which Hillary Clinton is seen to represent on the left. She, you know, the memory of Clinton centrism is really sharp in people's minds. And so they want to capture that energy, that anti-bank, anti-money, anti-system energy that they feel like Sanders has stirred up. And they think that Warren has the legitimacy to do that.
John Cassidy, has Elizabeth Warren been auditioning for it then?
It certainly sounds like it over the last few days. I mean, she gave a big speech in Washington on Thursday in which she, as you've, I think you played some of it, you, Donald Trump, are a total disgrace. And then she was on MSNBC last night and called him a thin-skinned money grubber. So if, you know, as you say, the role of the vice president is a tack dog, she seems like she's perfectly suited to it. I think there are issues in picking Warren, one of which is that her and Clinton do have some differences going back on Wall Street. You know, back in 2001, there was a bankruptcy bill going through Congress, and Senator Clinton, as she then was, opposed the bill, having supported it when she was in the White House. Elizabeth Warren was furious about this and actually wrote several pages about it in her book. Senator Clinton's explanation was that she was only trying to protect women and children who weren't well treated in this bill, and she subsequently did vote against it in 2005. But I think there was a lot of bad blood there, and certainly Clinton and Warren weren't seen as allies. They were seen as representing different wings of the party until a couple of weeks ago.
So, Monica Potts, John Cassidy is describing not only different political philosophies and maybe differences between Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton, but a microcosm of maybe what Elizabeth Warren could do for Hillary Clinton. You mentioned that she is seen as the centrist, the operator, somebody who takes positions to benefit herself. I think my description of that perception is probably accurate. Elizabeth Warren is seen as somebody who's pure on the left and can cover her there.
That's right. You know, people hope that within a Clinton administration, Elizabeth Warren would be the voice for the people and the voice for commonsensical reforms that take into account what the middle class and working class need, and more progressive economic populism. Now, whether the administration is the place for her to do that is unclear. You know, she's a pretty powerful senator, even though she's only been there for a short amount of time. She has a public platform. She can criticize bankers within the Senate, and she can champion, you know, legislation within the Senate. And whether or not it passes, these are the kinds of things that will get the public's attention and will be passed around on Facebook and other social media. She's sort of a darling of, you know, the YouTube world, where people see her as, you know, the one politician that speaks to their needs and is the champion for them within that body. And that's more powerful than her one vote is in the Senate. And so whether the administration is a better place for her than that, I think, is a question.
Right. John Cassidy, the calculations, maybe we're going to try to get into Elizabeth Warren's mind for a second. Powerful senator criticizing from the outside, or team player, help Hillary Clinton get elected, have an influence from inside the administration, but that vice presidential influence, which is not necessarily as strong.
I think if you're Elizabeth Warren, you would want to do some bargaining before you accepted the role of vice president, because there are various types of vice president. I don't think she would just want to be a sort of fig leaf on the administration. I do think she'd want to have some serious influence on policy, particularly on Wall Street, where there have been some big differences between her and Hillary Clinton.
And John Cassidy, what did you make of that comment from John Tester, the senator from Montana, when I asked him about Elizabeth Warren, wondering aloud whether the country was ready for two women at the top of the ticket? You could argue that a candidacy like Donald Trump's, which Hillary Clinton is painting as anti-woman, might be very vulnerable to that type of image.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly ready for a two women ticket. Whether the rest of the country is, I think, remains to be seen. I actually think it probably is. Certainly there'd be some sort of sexist Trump supporters who would never countenance this idea. But if you did have Clinton and Senator Warren at the top of the ticket, they're both very strong women, very impressive women, even if you don't agree with what they say. I think it'd be very hard to argue that they're not qualified to do the job and that they don't have the sort of constitution and character.
Monica Potts, it seems to me that white men who don't like Hillary Clinton already don't like her. She's not going to lose any more of them by drafting Elizabeth Warren.
That's right. But I think, you know, whether the country is ready for two women on a national ticket, that's the fear in the heart of every feminist I know, because we all thought that people would be ready for a female president and a Clinton candidacy. She was really popular before she started running for president again. And even though there are legitimate objections to Clinton, I think a lot of us see within the criticisms that she gets a sort of more subtle sexism, where maybe it's not, you know, men who say they would never vote for a woman outright, but sort of the ways in which they criticize Clinton and this sort of insistence on her ideological purity and her, you know, her being perfect, which of course no male presidential candidate would be, you know, perfect.
And yet, Monica Potts, on the left, you know, I can't count for you the number of Bernie Sanders supporters through my reporting or just hanging out who have come to me and moaned about Hillary Clinton. And if you mention Elizabeth Warren, their ears prick up and they go, oh, well, that would change things.
Well, that's easy to do when she's not running. I think, when she's actually on the ticket, she's actually part of the partisan fray. You might see some things come out from that side that are not coming out now. You know, when you're part of the partisan fray and you're up for criticism, the ways that people think about you and talk about you change.
And John Cassidy, Elizabeth Warren, a nightmare of opposition research and criticism from the Trump campaign, or a dream to highlight the fact that Hillary Clinton already says he's anti-woman?
Well, I think the Trump campaign have already been attacking Elizabeth Warren on the issue of her Native American heritage. You know, Trump's been making derogatory comments, calling her the Indian and Pocahontas, etc. But Elizabeth Warren, whatever you think of her, you know, she's pretty tough. She's not been shying back. She'd been attacking Trump a long time before this on Twitter. I don't think that those sort of jibes are going to affect her very much. I do think there is an issue of whether the Bernie Sanders supporters, once she's seen as an ally of Hillary Clinton, will be so supportive. I've noticed on my own Twitter feed, for example, just in the last 24 hours, that quite a few Bernie Sanders supporters have been criticizing Senator Warren, which I've never seen before, and saying, why is she coming out so quickly for Hillary Clinton?
Well, the very moment that Hillary Clinton seemed to clinch the Democratic nomination, the buzz began, or rather was started, around Elizabeth Warren as a potential vice presidential pick for Hillary Rodham Clinton. Monica Potts, New America Fellow and former reporter for the American Prospect, and John Cassidy, staff writer for The New Yorker. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.